Radio.
Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman. Welcoming you. I do that every time. Welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. Hope you're doing well today. And we've got some things we want to get to today. I do want to do part two of my COVID show. I did in August. I talked about the vaccines, and today I want to talk about masks. But before I get started, I wanted to just thank everybody who came out to the Popcorn Festival. I was there on Thursday, and we were able to hear seven bands all day Thursday on the community showcase stage, and seven Christian bands with a variety of music, and it was quite a thrilling day. It really was. So again, I want to thank you for those of you that came out and supported it, and hopefully we can do it again next year. All right, so the focus of this show has been Bible study, and that's what we call it. And I also have done some interviews with some people, and we talk about news relating to the church. But every once in a while, I just feel so strongly about something going on that I have to talk about it. So I did that back in August. We talked about vaccines because I really felt that you weren't getting a lot of the information. You were getting people's opinions, but you weren't getting information. So I tried to provide as much information as I could. And we looked at, you know, the reasons who's getting vaccinated and who's not getting vaccinated and why they weren't getting vaccinated, and realistically, what was the possibility of their minds being changed. We also talked about the fact that the vaccine is not a true vaccine. A vaccine is something that you get once in your life, sometimes with a booster, but usually just once in your life, and you're good to go. For instance, polio. You get it once, and that's all you got to get it. The smallpox and those types of ones, like the smallpox, one time. There is a booster for those, but that's all. And this is totally different. Already we're seeing people who've been vaccinated getting COVID. They call this breakthrough cases. And what it is, a breakthrough case is somebody who has been fully vaccinated and after 14 days they come down with COVID. And it's really kind of interesting what we're seeing as in that breakthrough. There seems to be quite a lot of it. As much as in some cases, 20% of the new COVID cases are people that have been vaccinated. However, if you look on a national average, it's running about 9 or 10%. But that's still a significant portion of them. The area of New York that includes New York City, they're seeing about 11% cases with COVID are people who are vaccinated. 9% of the deaths are people who had been vaccinated, and 8% of the hospitalizations are people who had been vaccinated. So that's just one of the updates. I also want to bring you up to date on vaccination rates. Now again, when you talk about vaccination rates, you must talk about the rate for the people that are 12 and over. Those under 12 cannot get the vaccine. They are not eligible for it. So when you look at it as a percentage of the people who are eligible for the vaccine, it's misleading if you look at percentage of total population, because that would only be 87% of the population that's eligible. So if you look at the total vaccinations as a percentage of total population, you're always going to have artificially low numbers. So anyway, here in the state of Ohio, we are at 61.7% of the eligible population. And here in Marion County, we are at 49.6% of the eligible population, just under 50%. And I do want to say again, I applaud the President of the United States. I don't necessarily agree with very much of what he says, but I will applaud him. When he talks about it, he does talk about percentage of eligible population. All right, so this morning I want to talk about masks, because here again we have the people on one side that are saying mask work, mask work, mask work, and we have people on the other side saying masks don't work, masks don't work, masks don't work. So what's reality? Well, in reality, the both parties are right, because the studies that, and I looked at over 200 studies over the past 3 weeks, and you will find very interesting information about what works and what doesn't work. And see, unfortunately, you're not getting that information. We have government officials, government health officials that say studies prove mask work. Studies show mask work. But they don't go into the details. And, you know, I kind of covered this about 2 weeks ago on a Bible study when I was talking about Ephesians 4:25. It was a subject of lying. And I said, I was talking in there about how you can tell somebody the truth, but it may not be the whole truth. And you might be telling them part of the truth in order to sway their opinion one way or the other, or to give them impression of something that actually is not true. And I gave the example of in prison, when a fellow I knew who was in prison said, "You know what they fed us for Thanksgiving dinner? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner. That's what they fed us on Thanksgiving, so that those people could be home with their families." Now, what he said was true. They did get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the dinner meal. But what he didn't tell you was the inmates got turkey dinner and the fixings for lunch. So they got a Thanksgiving dinner, but it was at lunch. But see, he didn't tell you the whole truth. Made a statement that was true, but didn't tell you the whole truth in order to make you think something other than what was true. I honestly feel like that's what the situation we're at now with masks. People are stating things that are true, but they're not telling you the whole truth. And it's designed to think, make you think a certain way. All right, so what's the story on masks? There have been relatively few, and I mean you can count them on your fingers, of randomly controlled tests, which is the gold standard for tests out there. And the reason, because how that works is you have one group that is given something that you want to test, and a one group that's not given it, and so you can see compare the results. So in this case, it would be you would have a group of people that are given the masks and shown how to wear them and wear them properly, and then you have another group of people that aren't given the masks at all. And there's been very few of these tests, because out of fear that people would, you know, be infected and possibly die. So what they've done is they've relied on observational studies and they've relied on laboratory studies, and there's been very, very few randomly controlled tests. Now, there are three major kinds of masks. You have your N95, which we always hear about. And those are the ones that, you know, the hospital workers are wearing. And then you have surgical masks, which are the little blue mask with the two loops on them, with the pleats in them, that you'll probably see about 90% of the population wearing. And then you have cloth masks, which they're, you know, all different kinds of cloth masks. Homemade cloth masks, commercially made cloth masks. You've got the kind that actually are neck covering, pull up over the nose. So those are the three types of masks. Now, when you read the studies, and almost every study I read, when it talks about the N95, which is a very tight fit, and it's properly fitted, it gives proper protection. In other words, the N95 is the kind of mask that fits over the nose, over the mouth, around the face, and it is basically forms a seal the whole way around. When you wear an N95 mask that is properly fitted, every study I read, you have 85 to 90 to 95% effectiveness, and it's very effective. These are the studies that people like to point to when masks are successful, or when they say masks work. They love to point to these studies, and it's understandable why. So the N95, which you rarely ever see in public, is the way to go. Now, let's talk about surgical masks. The surgical masks are, like I said, the ones that are pleated and they're usually blue and they've got the two loops on them. I think the best way to explain this is to read directly from a paper issued by the CDC. Okay? The CDC says this: if worn properly, a surgical mask is meant to help block large particle droplets, splashes, sprays, or other splatter that may contain germs, keeping it from reaching your mouth and nose. While a surgical mask may be effective in blocking splashes and large particle droplets, a face mask, by design, does not filter or block very small particles in the air that may be transmitted by coughs and sneezes. Surgical masks do not provide complete protection from germs and other contaminants because of their loose fit between the mask and face. Surgical masks are not intended to be worn more than once. So basically what the CDC is saying, a surgical mask was intended to protect the wearer in those situations where they may get splashed, sprayed, or other matter thrown at them. They were never intended as contaminants in the air through breathing. So let's look at some studies. And quite honestly, I had about 42 different studies I looked at that studied the N95. And every single one of those showed effectiveness at 85% or higher if it's properly worn. So I'm not going to bore you with that. Those statistics, that's the science, and that's what it says. They do work. All right. When it comes to other things, I've got a study here. There was a study in Bangladesh that was done with 340,000 pieces. People. getting tied up. 340,000 people. Study in Bangladesh. And by the way, this actually was the first randomly controlled test that was done, which is the ones they like to do. One half of the people were given a surgical mask or a cloth mask with constant reminders to wear them. One half of the people were given nothing. There was no intervention. They were not told about, you know, how to stay separated and things like that. They were given no mask. The results were the villages that masked up saw 9% fewer cases than villages that did absolutely nothing. I repeat, the villages that had the masks and the constant reminders to wear them, they saw 9% fewer cases than the villages that had nothing. And incidentally, it was broken down further. The ones where they were wearing the surgical masks, they had 11% fewer cases, and the ones wearing cloth masks only had 5%. The overall of the whole group was a 9%, but it was 11% for surgical masks and 5% for cloth. It's rather interesting if you look what happened here in Ohio. We had a mask mandate on July 25th last year. And at that time, on that particular day, there were 1,400 new cases, and the seven-day average was 1,330. In August, that's 30 days later, there was 844 that day and a 939 seven-day average. You could make an argument that the mask mandate, we saw a little drop. In September, September 25th, there was 1,115 and 923 for the seven-day average. In October 25th, 2,309 cases, and the seven-day average was 2,333. Then in November, we went up to the 10,000, and there was a seven-day average of 9,100, and there was 10,000 on that November 25th. And in December, again, we saw the numbers in the upper 8,000s. When you look at the mask mandate that was put in effect on July 25th, and you look at that basically last 5 months of the year, and I tell you, everybody was wearing their mask. Even around Christmas time, when you go out anywhere in public, everybody was wearing a mask. It's hard to justify that masks are helpful or that masks work when you see those kind of numbers. All right. I've got some other pieces of information that you might like. And let's see. Let me get it here. All right. Let's see. In a recent report in Emerging Infectious Disease, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggests what experts have stated all along. There is no conclusive evidence that cloth mask protects users from coronavirus, especially since most people do not use them correctly and do not keep them clean. Let's see. The report states, to our knowledge, only one randomized controlled trial has been conducted to examine the efficacy of the cloth mask, and the results do not favor the cloth mask. The increasing evidence that cloth masks not only may be ineffective against stopping coronavirus transmission, but they may actually increase the spread of the virus as well as worsening other health concerns. And that was in September of last year, when things were starting to heat up. That's from the CDC. All right. CDC study, 85% of COVID-19 cases in July were people who often or always wear masks. A new study from the CDC demonstrates what we have suspected all along, that the overwhelming majority of people contracting the disease have consistently wore masks for some time. A survey conducted by over a dozen medical institutions for the CDC and published in September 11's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report showed that 85% of those who contracted COVID-19 during July among the study group either always or often wore face coverings within the 14 days before they were infected. More than 70% of those outpatient individuals tested positive reported always wearing masks. Just 3.9% reported never wearing masks. So, and this comes from the CDC. I'm not making it up and anything like that. This is where it comes from. All right. This is a big one here. So, this is a study that was published in, it's Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And what they did is they said it was a politically charged thing. The COVID was becoming politically charged. Early in the pandemic, the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the NIH's Dr. Anthony Fauci discouraged wearing masks as not useful for non-health care workers. Now they recommend wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where others are hard to do. So they wanted to publish some studies. The bottom line in all of this is you have to look at particle size, okay? And the reason that the N95 are effective is because they filter out particles the size that is carried in what comes out of our mouth and out of our nose and is carrying the bacteria or the virus. They block most of that. The problem with the face coverings and the surgical mask and the cloth mask is that they cannot filter out something that small. What they can filter out, why they are somewhat effective, is they can filter out the larger particles. And so that's why they are minimally effective. They stop some things, but they can't filter out the smaller ones. So if you want to get into the science of it, a COVID-19 particle is 0.125 microns, okay? And the problem with the mask is they don't filter out things smaller than 2 microns. So we're looking at the droplets, the small droplets that are getting through the masks. They're good when you sneeze and they're good when you cough, but that's all that they're good for. So basically, what after all these studies, this is what we find. First, a properly worn N95 works. Second, a cloth mask or a surgical mask is very ineffective. It will block some, but as we've seen, the rates are anywhere from 5 to 10% of what it reduces the COVID transmission. So they're very ineffective. So let's talk about what's going on in this country. You have the people that say no mask, no mask, no mask, and you have the people who are saying mask work, mask work, mask work. So some masks work and most masks don't. Unfortunately, most of the people out in public don't wear an N95. They're wearing surgical masks and cloth masks, which admittedly, it's a very small percentage that is effective. So the question that has been floating around is, why are people so adamant in the mask things? Because people have mandates every day. You can't, you have to drive the speed limit. You can't drive over the speed limit. You must wear seat belts. You must wear helmets when riding motorcycles, and on and on and on and on and on. We have mandates that we must live by every day. Why have the people become so lines drawn and heels dug in over mask mandates? And I think that's really a very simple thing to answer. The reason that people have become so drawn one side or the other is because people have realized that what everybody is wearing in public are relatively useless, and they don't want to be told they have to wear something if it's not going to work. Okay? If everybody was wearing N95 masks, you wouldn't have an argument against them. They've been proven to work, but that's not what the people are wearing in public. They're wearing surgical masks and cloth masks, and they don't want to be told that they have to wear a mask if these masks are not effective. See, seatbelt laws are effective in reducing. You can demonstrate the effect of seatbelts as being effective. Helmets on motorcycles, you can demonstrate the effectiveness. Speed limits, you can demonstrate the effectiveness. Unfortunately, you can't demonstrate the effectiveness of wearing a mask. And that's why people are so upset about it. So, what are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any comments? Well, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to take calls, 740-383-9944. I'd like to hear from you. Tell me what your opinion is. Tell me what your thoughts are. And give us a call. Love to hear from you. I hope I'm not the only person out there. I'll say this. I'm going to editorialize now. I personally feel that if a person wants to wear a mask, they can wear a mask. But I do not feel that the government should mandate me to wear a mask, especially when it's shown that they are not working. So I applaud, actually, the people that have stood up against the masks in school, against mask mandates, because I feel that they're not effective, and I believe that there are other reasons why they want us to wear a mask. Now, I'll let you go down that road, and I'll let you think what you want about them having other plans forever, whatever. That's just my personal beliefs. So, what are your thoughts? What are your opinions? What do you have to offer? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. Well, we were talking about the thing, about the mask. This one that I had from the American Physicians and Surgeons, it contained a lot of really interesting things. It says that surgical masks are loose-fitting devices that were designed to be worn by medical personnel to protect accidental contamination of patient wounds and to protect the wearer against splashes and sprays of body fluids. They aren't affected at blocking particles smaller than, now they say smaller than 100 microns. I've seen things where it's you know, they're effective at 2 or 3 microns. But keep in mind that the coronavirus is 0.125. Oh, let's see. What else do we have here? Ah, this one was interesting. When they were talking about the size of particles of COVID, it says all the cloth masks and materials had near zero efficiency at 0.3 microns, a particle size that is 3 times that of the COVID one. Efficiency for the entire range of particles. A t-shirt, 10% efficiency. Scarfs, 10% efficiency. Cloth masks, 10% efficiency. Sweatshirts, 20% efficiency. Towels, 40% efficiency. Then they evaluated masks, respirators, and other materials, and they found that the N95, here again, it's 95% efficiency. Medical masks, 55% efficiency. Cloth masks, 30% efficiency. And handkerchiefs, 2% efficiency. Wearing masks other than N95 will not be effective at preventing COVID transmission, whether worn or as a source control or as personal protective equipment. Surgical masks are better than a cloth mask, but not very efficient at preventing emissions from infected patients. Cloth masks must be at least three layers, plus adding static electricity by rubbing with a rubber glove. Now, have you ever heard that before? Did you know that in order to make your surgical mask effective, it must be three layers, and you must add electricity to it by rubbing it with a rubber glove? Overall, let's see, when they were doing their studies on human studies, data was collected from 714 men and women of all ages, and let's see, about 75% performed the strap placement incorrectly, 61% left visible gaps between the mask and skin, and about 60% did not cover the nose. See, that's another problem that we have. When they do have a mask, they're not properly worn. So it totally reduces the effectiveness of it. What are your thoughts? What are your comments? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. There were 17 eligible studies. One study had improvement with masks plus hand sanitizers. None of the studies established a conclusive relationship between mask respirator use and protection against infection. So I could go on and on, but I just felt necessary to bring you up to date on that. Now, I did give you the latest numbers for vaccines, and I wanted to go, let's see, let me get here, whoops, all right, COVID-19 vaccinations. These are from the Ohio Department of Health, State of Ohio, and talking about vaccine rates. Yes, 12 and up is 61.7%. Let's see. Now, it's interesting to note that we have seen, now that Vax-a-Million has long expired, we have actually seen an uptick in the number of people that are getting the vaccine. But here's my thoughts on the vaccine. We're seeing a lot of these breakthrough cases. That's people that have been fully vaccinated and are coming down with COVID. So we're seeing some of that. This vaccine was sold to us last year. As we got close to the end of the year, we were told that once we get the vaccine, we're going to knock this out. Once we get the vaccine, we're going to knock this out. Once we get the vaccine, we're going to knock this out. Unfortunately, we've seen that wasn't the case. We see that people getting the vaccine are still coming down with COVID. We see that if you got the vaccine, they're recommending that you get a booster in the next 8 months or after 8 months. This is basically the same as a flu shot. Every year we got to get a flu shot. Every year we got to get a flu shot, and people still get the flu. That's what this vaccine is. And I've been reading a lot, and it's interesting to note that many, many immunologists and virologists already knew that the vaccine wasn't a real vaccine, that this it wasn't going to take care of the problem. It wasn't going to knock it out. That we're going to have COVID. It's going to be around forever. But see, those people were silenced. We were led to believe that we could knock this thing out. And those in the know knew that was not the case. So it's, you know, just trying to provide you with the information that's out there, and like to hear your comments. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open here. Did any of you go to the Popcorn Festival? I tell you, I was totally amazed. This was my first time at the Popcorn Festival. In the 40 years that they've done it, and I'm 62 years old, I have to admit, I'm not a Marion resident. I'm not a Marion native. I have to admit that this was my first time there. So I arrived Thursday morning at when people were getting set up, and I truly was amazed how many food vendors they had. Food trucks, food vendors, you know, all those people that set up, I was not expecting that many. I don't know what I thought, but for some reason I didn't think there'd be that many. I was really surprised. It was row after row after row of the food vendors. Now, as I'm walking through and I'm reading, you know, this person has, you know, cotton candy, and this person's got bratwurst, and this person's got, you know, Bourbon Street chicken, and I mean, anything you could possibly want to get, it was there. But so as I'm walking by, and I'm looking at the food vendors, and about halfway through the food vendors, I'm like, wait a minute, this is the Popcorn Festival. You can't buy popcorn here. You would think at a popcorn festival, you could buy popcorn. So I was, you know, kind of talking to myself, and I was working my way down toward the west end, because that's where the community showcase stage was set up, and that's where I was working. And so I literally had to walk by all the food vendors. I'm walking by, and I'm thinking, wow, somebody should be here selling popcorn. Well, lo and behold, I get down about three or four booths from the end, down where the community showcase stage was, and there it was. There was a booth where you could get popcorn. They had bagged caramel corn and regular popcorn and everything. So I was excited to see that, yes, at the Popcorn Festival, you can buy popcorn. Because, you know, it's really kind of funny. I've been to festivals before. I was at a sweet corn festival one time. And honest to goodness, you could not get sweet corn at the sweet corn festival. I'm not making it up. They did not have any sweet corn at the sweet corn festival. So I was relieved to see that there was some popcorn there at the popcorn festival. All right. Hey, here's an incoming phone call. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Uh-oh. Oh, let me turn that up. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Well, caller, call back. I probably messed up when I was trying to get that here. Give me a call again. I didn't have your sound turned up. So go ahead, caller. And all right, let's try it again. Yes, is this you?
Yes, Craig, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Adam. Sorry I messed up on the phones there. This is my first experience on the phones.
And okay, you know, I'm on a smartphone, and sometimes smartphones aren't too smart.
Yeah.
So, I've been occupied with something else, but I've been listening.
Yes.
Since the beginning. You're making a lot of sense. It's good to hear something cerebral. Just amazing, all these people with 100 different doctorate degrees. They can't hold a candle to what you're saying. And it's based upon life experience and, you know, just say having an IQ in at least double digits. And I kind of wonder about some of the so-called experts, that their brain cells have taken a vacation. We feel almost completely consistent. I would agree the N95s work. I do see some people wearing them, but they're not comfortable in how you could possibly 10 bar for 8 hours or do anything other than a quick task around the home, like painting or spraying insecticide or something, and wear an N95. It's not practical. In Asia, people often do wear them, and they're used to it, but that's just not how we roll in this country, and maybe that's not necessarily a good thing. But people wearing a gaiter, basically a turtleneck, have part of a turtleneck being pulled up over their mouth and nose, but all it does is introduce unwanted particles into their breath and make them uncomfortable and make them look ridiculous. And what you mentioned about surgical masks is excellent. I've cited an article by a surgeon who explains why do doctors wear surgical masks when they're doing surgery, as well as nurses and other people in the operating room, but why are they not effective against COVID? There is some effect. Of course, if you sneeze, then your stuff that you're sneezing out gets on the mask and you breathe it in, and that's obviously going to do a lot of good. So, bottom line, it's obvious people aren't listening to anything with a remote semblance of common sense. And, yes, the world's gone totally crazy.
Yeah,
and I'm in the north end of Columbus is where I officially hang my hat, and I'm not complying with the mask mandate, which is illegal anyway. And I'm readjusting myself, and I don't want to boycott the city that I love and I'm proud of, but I'm going to certainly see how I can go ahead and live my life and either ignore a request or demand to wear a mask or indicate that I am medically and behaviorally exempt, which I am. So, yeah, Craig. And also indicate, I mean, this is meant as a compliment because we may see alike, but we don't see alike in religion, although I believe in God. I'm not, you know, considered a religious person. I'm certainly spiritual, though. And I don't plan to be a Bible expert like you are by any means, but you've not brought religion into this at all. And let me ask about that. Is that kind of on purpose to indicate that this is a secular issue? Or
I
was kind of wondering about that, too, because basically there's been no mention of religion at all.
Yeah,
and you hear people that say, well, you know, trust God, don't trust science, science is junk. No, I don't believe. I don't think you believe in that either. No, I do believe that your spirituality, just like a general positive attitude, which I've been instituting, which has been good, because normally I'm not so positive, but that's actually good. Your attitude and how you feel, that is helpful, but don't let it become the dominating factor.
No, I personally, well, I purposefully did not introduce religion into this because I could, you know, I could make religious arguments, but I'm gonna shut down half my listeners or more. And there's so much scientific evidence on masks, you don't need to introduce it.
You've made more sense in 45 minutes than Dr. Fauci has made in his entire 80-year lifetime, as far as I'm concerned, and I applaud. But I don't want to cheapen what you said because it's excellent. It isn't that complicated, and I sent you those 100-plus studies that Lucas provided about effectiveness. And but as I said, even if masks were totally effective, I wouldn't be in favor of them. Because I know wearing a hazmat suit and covering yourself in Saran wrap or just living in a cave, well, that's going to stop exposure. But also, you're going to not acquire antibodies and healthy, even though it's an oxymoron, healthy exposure, and therefore help your own immune system because you need to be exposed to other humans. Plus, especially for someone like myself, despite how gregarious I may seem over the phone and my great sense of humor, I'm very socially awkward. And if you are socially awkward, and even if you're not, you need to exercise your people skills and your ability to interact as a social animal, which humans are. And mask wearing or anything that kind of covers your appearance, you know, I'm not talking about wearing a baseball hat or something because that's part of attire. Something like that, that isn't healthy. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Would you agree, though? I mean, as I'm saying, as a non-religious person to a religious person, but again, I'm spiritual, as I believe in God, and I believe that really, I'm big on freedom of religion. That's why the idea of closing churches, making funerals virtual, that's ridiculous. I mean, goodness sake, so I'm going to say goodbye to my relative. I'm going to do it in person. I'm not going to do it over Zoom. Zoom is fine for a meeting. But not for a funeral, not for a religious service. I think we can agree totally on that.
Absolutely.
But we can agree that, again, bringing in some of your faith and some of your belief and how you feel in your heart, even if it's just the kind of the positive attitude that I've been having, that's important, too. It's important to keep your religious beliefs. But, again, but understand that science and religion, they can coexist. But granted, the people that say, well, don't believe in any science, just trust in God, well, that's way out there. I've had arguments with people about that. But I think you and I can agree that religion and science can coexist along with a good positive attitude.
Absolutely.
It really does work wonders, and I've had to reinvent myself a bit on that. And I'm glad I have. I guess something good comes out of it, because I think it is worthwhile.
Absolutely. We can agree. And, Adam, I'm down to 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, sorry to hog your time.
No.
But I really like what you have to say, and... You know, listeners, he's made more sense in 45 minutes than Dr. Fauci has made in 80 years, as far as I'm concerned. So thanks again, Craig, and we'll see you later.
Adam, thank you. And we're going to wrap up here, and I just want to leave you with one closing comment. Ben Franklin said, a people that would give up their security for...
You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, at the height of, you know,